ওকে, উই আর হিয়ার। অনেকে মনে করেন যে ভক্তির নিত্যসিদ্ধ স্বরূপ নাই, কেবল কর্মের বিশুদ্ধ অবস্থা ও জ্ঞানের কৈবল্য অবস্থাকে ভক্তি বলা যায়। এরূপ সিদ্ধান্ত ভ্রমাত্মক। মেনি পিপল থিঙ্ক দ্যাট দিস ইজ অ সামারি, দিস ইজ নট এ প্রপার ট্রান্সলেশন, বাট উই অলরেডি ডেল্ট উইথ। মেনি পিপল থিঙ্ক দ্যাট ডিভোশন সার্ভিস ইজ নট ইটার্নাল অ্যান্ড দ্য ডিভোশন সার্ভিস ইজ এ ম্যাচিওর স্টেজ অফ কর্ম প্রোগ্রেসিং টু জ্ঞান। মেনি পিপল থিঙ্ক দ্যাট ভক্তি ইজ নট, bhakti does not have an eternal self-established position, self-established nature. They think that it is simply the purified form of karma, and they think that it is the position of kaivalya in jnana. But this conclusion is mistaken. Sukshmadarshi Pandit Gan Bolenje, Vishuddha Atmar Aswadan Vritti Parichalana Ke Kevala Akinchana Ba Ananna Bhakti Bola Jai Tahar Annatam Nam Prem. Learned scholars who have seen the truth say that a spirit soul's propensity for relishing transcendental ecstasy is called unalloyed devotional service. Another name of this is love of Godhead.
Means basically they're trying to say that we awakened is something which is...
See, those who can see the subtle seers, such scholars, they say that the functioning of the relishing tendency of the pure soul is what can be called Kevala Bhakti, Akinchana Bhakti, Ananya Bhakti, and so on. And another name of that is Prema, love of God. Or Atmar Bichar Brittir Parichalana Ke Gyan Bole. And the Atmas and the functioning of the vichar aspect of the Atma is what is called Gyan. Aswadan Shunya Vichar Charame Prayai Abhed Brahmavad Bab Nirban Bad Rup Anarthake Anayan Kore. Analysis, vichar, without relishing, devoid of relishment, finally, most of the time is taken away by the anartha in the form of non-dual impersonalism, non-dual Brahman impersonalism, and nirvana philosophy, that is Buddhism, voidism. Is that here? Because the simple cultivation of knowledge is devoid of the propensity for relishing ecstatic love, it creates many anarthas. Something is all it's not. Jeev Swabhavatai Aswadan Pradhan. The living entity is primarily characterized by relishment. Kebal Bicharmai Hoite Gele Swa Swabhav Hoite Chut Hoite Hoi. If one simply becomes analytical, filled with vichar, then he has to fall away from his own nature. Gyan jokhon premer prati lakshya kore tokhon gyanamishra bhakti hoy. I think that comes here. When cultivation of knowledge is aimed at devotional service, it is called devotional service mixed with jnana. Gyan jokhon prem prachurja krame vichar bhakti ke sthagita kore tokhon kevala bhakti rup prakashito hoy. Kevala bhakti rupe prakashita hai. When knowledge is stifled, no, because of an abundance of prema, love of Godhead, when a knowledge stifles such analysis, then it reveals kevala bhakti. When the process of jnana, it takes away one's non-devotional analytical tendencies, then it reveals love of Godhead. When the propensity of jnana is checked by an abundance of love of Godhead, it is called pure devotional service. I don't think that's what he's saying. Gyan jokhon prema prachurja krame vichar vriddhi ke sthagita kore. When jnana stifles the aspect of vichar due to an abundance of prema, then it is manifested in the form of Kevala Bhakti.
The analytical tendencies stop. Not that.
Knowledge remains. Knowledge remains. But this, the analytical pursuit is stifled. Anyway, these things will keep coming to it again, so why?
I'm just getting confused. Analytical pursuit and knowledge. What is meaning, what is difference?
Knowledge is the process by which we learn that we are not matter. Okay. But when that leads one to pleasing Krishna, then one is more interested in pleasing Krishna than in analyzing Krishna. This is due to an abundance of prema. It's correct only what in Goloka Vrindavan and all, it is like this only. This is the status in Goloka Vrindavan.
They
are not interested in analyzing Krishna. They simply want to please Him. The desire for pleasing Krishna is so great that the desire to analyze Krishna is stifled. So it's nothing strange. It's just normal.
But then that vichara is a catalyst for the soul, though.
Yes, but there is an abundance of prema bhakti now. This also explains why in Goloka Vrindavan, only in their in separation from Krishna only, they talk about Krishna being Supreme Personality of God and all that. In Krishna's presence, they don't think all these things. They are overwhelmed by an abundance of love of God. It means they simply want to make Him happy.
Separation is inferior.
Huh?
You think separation is inferior?
No.
You think about the Supreme.
That doesn't mean it's inferior. Raghavartma Chandrika Vishnu Chakravarti discusses this. They know, but their knowledge doesn't cause them to deal with them differently. In either case, in union or separation.
So then you say, basically our movement, we don't have an abundance of love. Simply we are interested in discriminating this and that.
But this is all this.
Prabhupada gave teaches that you are stifling.
That is later. Analysis is paralysis. That is all later stage, not now. Now it is very helpful.
That we establish.
That is what this is. He is talking of prema bhakti. No, he is saying due to an abundance of prema. I don't have abundance of prema. We are talking of Krishna prema, not Maya prema. So after we become drowned in Krishna prema, then we will also be like that. Then you don't need knowledge. Na. You don't need karma. You don't need jnana also.
Here again, I am a bit confused because you classically there are two kinds of jnana. One is the Bhagavad jnana, which is covered from books.
But even Bhagavad jnana is covered over by an abundance of love of God. Bhagavad jnana is all useful in sadhana bhakti stage. He is not talking of sadhana bhakti stage, he is talking of prema bhakti stage.
Bhagavad jnana in sadhana bhakti stage is jnana mishra bhakti.
No, it's bhakti anukula jnana. It is
what difference between jnana mishra bhakti and bhakti anukula
jnana? No. Jnana mishra bhakti is a combination of jnana plus bhakti.
You have a taste for analyzing. What is it?
Yes, okay. Yes.
What is bhakti anukula jnana?
Bhakti anukula jnana is that knowledge part. Jnana Mishra Bhakti is a combination of Jnana plus Bhakti.
Okay.
But you can combine... When
you say Jnana plus Bhakti, what are you saying actually?
It means that the practitioner is doing Jnana activities and Bhakti activities, but he is spending most of the time in Bhakti activities.
What is Jnana activity?
To study Shastra and analyze it and all that.
Study Shastra and analyze Shastra?
To understand its meaning with full faith. This is called Jnana.
Okay.
But in obedience.
Because jnana means studying Shastra, trying to understand it with full faith.
That is jnana.
Okay.
Bhakti means simply seva, doing whatever Krishna wants, that's all. Which is already classified in 64 forms.
Okay. But then it says the nana, shastra, vichara, vichara.
That is for others' benefit they are doing. Not that they don't have a... the six Goswamis themselves, they are not... they don't have question.
For others' benefit,
Of course, then.
Yeah,
it's for others' benefit only they're doing all this. They don't have questions. They don't have. Yeah, they don't have questions to answer. They're not like our people. After going to university, they wonder whether Radha exists. They're not like that. They know very well Radha exists. They can directly experience all these things. But for blind people, they have to start on the basis of jnana. That jnana is bhakti anukula jnana, not bhakti pratikula jnana. When he says jnana karma dhyanavrtam, what he implies is that it cannot be covered by jnana, which means the bhakti pratikula jnana cannot have any place at all. And bhakti anukula jnana, it may exist in the sadhana stage, which is fine. In the bhava stage, it is not required. I mean, it begins to not be required. In prema stage, it is not required. You are directly talking to Krishna on uninterrupted, you have unmediated communication with the Supreme Lord. Why do you need to go and keep looking at what Krishna said in Uddhava Gita, what he said in Bhagavad Gita, what he said? He is there in front of you. He is no longer a character from a book. He is in front of you.
Okay.
It is called aparoksha jnana.
Fine, again, see, again coming back to the point of jnana, Krishna bhakti, bhakti alukurya. What is the essential?
No, no, see, you're first of all, you have to understand. Bhakti is one item. Jnana is another item. Karma is another item.
Yes.
Then you have Anyabhilashita, which refers to everything else. Which simply means Adharma. Okay, these are all different items. Okay. Now, within jnana, there are two types of jnana. You can say that the jnana item can be subdivided into Bhakti Anukula Jnana, Bhakti Pratikula Jnana. Okay. Similarly, you can divide karma into Bhakti Anukula Karma, Bhakti Pratikula Karma. Okay, so now you can take all this and mix them together. If you mix karma and bhakti, and that in that combination, there is bhakti pratikula karma there, bhakti anukula karma there, and bhakti. Then the entire combination has to be called either bhakti mishra karma or karma mishra bhakti. You understand? Because there is bhakti pratikula karma there also. But suppose there is no bhakti pratikula karma and there is only bhakti anukula karma and most of the time goes in bhakti.
So you are saying that there is bhakti pratikula karma there? That is called bhakti mishra karma.
Or karma mishra bhakti, whatever.
Karma mishra bhakti or bhakti mishra karma, okay.
Okay, but suppose that devotee rejects bhakti pratikula karma. He only accepts bhakti anukula karma and he also accepts bhakti. But most of the time goes in bhakti anukula karma. It cannot be called Shuddha Bhakti still. It is another form of whatever it is another form of Bhakti Mishra Karma. It is another form of Bhakti Mishra Karma.
Okay.
But if he spends most of the time in Bhakti, and he spends time in Bhakti Anukula Karma only when required, as determined by perfect devotee, okay, then that combination is pure Bhakti now.
Okay.
You understand the point? If you consider three circles, the portion that's intersecting between karma and bhakti, is you can count it within bhakti, it's within the bhakti circle. It is not bhakti circle plus another portion. That other portion is taken out. Bhakti pratikula karma is taken out. Same thing with jnana. If there is unnecessary analysis, then the combination is either bhakti mishra jnana or jnana mishra bhakti. When there is no unnecessary amount of analysis, then it is considered as pure bhakti. But again, pure bhakti only in the sadhana stage, not pure bhakti in the prema stage, in the bhava stage or prema stage. There at that time you don't even require that. At that time you do not even require bhakti anukula karma or bhakti anukula jnana. Okay. So there is, in that way there is a distinction between sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti. Because there has to be a distinction between sadhana bhakti and prema bhakti also. Okay. The distinction is this, that in prema bhakti there is not even bhakti anukula karma or bhakti anukula jnana.
So, okay, but then you said there would be one example. Therefore, it is jnana, okay, Bhakti Anukula Karma is of two types, right?
No, karma is of two types. Bhakti Anukula Karma or Bhakti Pratikula Karma.
No, Bhakti Pratikula Karma also. So Anukula Karma also. You said that one is where Bhakti Anukula Karma is predominant and Bhakti is less.
Ah, yes. That is possible. One may be...
That is Nishkama Karma.
I do not know what that combination is. But I do know that...
It's not Jnana Vishnu Bhakti. It's not Karma Vishnu Bhakti.
It is something. It must be something. It is not pure Bhakti. That I am very sure about. Because in the description of pure Bhakti, it is very very clear that Bhakti Anukula Karma has to be small. And Bhakti has to be big.
So what is Nishkama Karma Yoga?
Nishkama Karma Yoga must be somehow or other, karma is predominant, bhakti is subordinate.
That must be that only.
It must be that. But there must be two different types.
Similarly, actually Jnana Yoga must be that only. Bhakti Anukula Jnana
Yoga is predominant. But that we have to carefully examine, because that there may be different types. There may be some people, Ramanujacharya says there are some people who do more than what is prescribed. They engage in Kamya Karma also. Okay. And he still classifies them as Karma Yogis.
Oh, they do Kamya Karma.
But they still aim at liberation. So it looks like various combinations are possible. That will become clear as we keep looking at the commentary.
Like the sun rising, not the sun.
Yeah. It's not... because the seed...
Nishkama Karma Yoga, but Kamya Yoga definition is Nishkama, no?
Nishkama means moksha. Why they are doing Kamya Karma and still desiring liberation, it looks like they are in the transition phase.
Yeah.
It looks like they are in the transition phase. But a mature Karma Yogi, he will not even do that. He will abandon it.
But it's called Nishkama Karma Yoga, right? Karma Yoga which is Nishkama. Karma Yoga, but it means Nishkama, no?
Yeah, but sometimes Acharya Vishnu Chakravarti uses this. He says Sakama Karma also. Uses the
Karma, not Yoga.
First of all, Yoga simply means sadhana. Yoga means sadhana. What we call Bhakti Sadhana, Jnana Sadhana, Karma Sadhana.
Then Kami Karma cannot be called as sadhana, Yoga, right?
But it looks like there are some people who are still engaged in Bhakti Pratikula Karma and Bhakti Anukula Karma, and I think in a transition they are adding in Jnana and they are adding in Bhakti and they are having a desire for liberation in to go to Vaikuntha. I think by
Jnana Vishnu Bhakti and Karma Vishnu Bhakti or Bhakti Vishnu Bhakti.
Yeah, but that is not proper because one is supposed to give up Bhakti Pratikula Karma. So that it looks like that is a mature phase. In the mature phase one gives up even Bhakti Pratikula Karma.
If we go regarding discussion, then we also said, oh, Sakama Karma Yoga is not used by Yoga Acharyas. Sakama Karma is used, but not Sakama Karma Yoga.
Now, Prabhupada uses the word Yoga always to refer to something which takes you to transcendence.
Yeah.
But these things become come out clear in Bhagavatam also. Because in Bhagavat, here we are reading only abstract. We are talking about different combinations and all. But in Bhagavatam, you can see personalities who are doing those. Vishwanath Chakravarti himself is very consistent in what he is doing. The terms that he introduces here, the same terms he introduces in Bhagavatam. And he points out, see, this person is doing this combination, he is doing this combination. This combination leads to this result, this combination leads to that result. Repeatedly he points it out. Here it is an abstract summary. There he has applied it to individual characters and you can see case studies. It's very interesting this. Jivir Satta Nitya Atave Tahar Alochana Vrittiyo Nitya. The living entities are eternal. Therefore their propensities are eternal and their activities are also eternal. The living entity's existence is eternal, therefore his propensity to discuss, his propensity to know is also eternal. Alochana vritti nitya hoile tahar karjo sutrang nitya. Because that aspect of alochana, discussion or knowing is eternal, therefore its effect is also eternal. Muktavastha o badhavastha bedhe जीवे कार्य द्वि प्रकार अर्थात निरुपाधिक और सोपाधिक. Considering the distinctions of the liberated status and the conditioned status, the living entity's activities are of two types. One is without upadhi, without material designations, and the other with upadhi or material designation. The activities of the conditioned souls are material designated, and the activities of the liberated souls are transcendental. जड़संग क्रमे जड़ अभिमानी जीवेर उपाधि सही उपाधि क्रमे जड़ीय शरीरे ओ ओई शरीरे अनुगत समस्त व्यापारे जे अहंता ओ ममता जन्मे ताहाय जीवेर जड़ाभिमान बा देहात्मा अभिमान. What is उपाधि? He answers that the material designation of the living entity is his self-conception as being a product of matter due to association with matter. That material designation gradually gives birth to two conceptions. The conception of I-ness, that this is me, and the conception of my-ness, that this is mine. That concept of I is applied to one's body, and the concept of minus is that which is mine is applied to everything that is following the body. This is what is called the living entity's identification with the body. This is called the bodily concept of life, deha atma abhiman. This is his material conception of life, bodily concept of life. जड़बद्ध जीवेर कार्य सोपाधि आर जारा जड़े बद्ध हन नाई वा जाहारा भगवत कृपा बोले जड़मुक्त होइया छेन तहादेर कार्य निर उपाधिक. द एक्टिविटीज ऑफ अ जीव हु इज कंडीशन बाय मैटर दे आर ऑल मटीरियली डिजिग्नेटेड एंड दोज हु आर नॉट कंडीशन बाय मैटर और दोज बाय द मर्सी ऑफ भगवान have become freed from matter, their activities are without material designations. Vishuddha atmar nirupadik karjer namai bhagavat seva. The those activities which are not materially designated of the pure atma are called bhagavat seva. Ar jadavaddha atmar sopadik karjer namai karma. And the activities which are materially designated for the atma who is conditioned by matter is called karma. Jadamukta hoile jivar karjan nirupadhik hoy. And when that jiva becomes freed from matter, then his activities become free from material designations. Sopadhik avasthay jivar karma anushthan oparihargya. In the status of functioning with material designations, the living entity's involvement in karma is unavoidable. Jivar swarup tatte prem sevai sahaja dharma. In his constitutional position, the living entity's service in love of Godhead is his natural dharma, is his natural feature. Sei dharma vadhavastateo jivar sange sange sutarang ache. That feature, that intrinsic feature, that dharma is actually therefore always with the jivatma even in the bound state. Bahirmukha karmer prabalata prajukta taha lupta pray thake. Because of the predominance of activities which are in aversion to the Supreme Lord, that feature of the jivatma is natural dharma, that is almost lost. Satsanga krame je sakal jeev ukta bahirmukhata kharb hoy, je sakal jeeve ukta bahirmukhata kharb hoy oi sakal jeeve seva vrittir prabhalata hoy. By the association of the saints, when the living in, okay, in those living in all those living entities who by associating with saints have curtailed their aversion to the Supreme Lord, in them the aspect of service, in all those jivas the aspect of service is predominant. Tokhon tahake karma mishra sadhana bhakti bole, then that is known as karma mishra sadhana bhakti. Seva vritti prachur rupe balavati hoile karma kramasha bhagavat bahirmukata rup swaswarup ke parityag kore. When one's serving propensity becomes abundant and becomes strong, then karma gradually abandons its own nature as being averse to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. Tokhano ha kevala bhakti tei parjagasita hoya jai. At that time, it culminates into kevala bhakti, exclusive devotion service. Due to their contact with matter, the living entities are awarded material designations. Because of their material pride, they consider their material body as their self and everything in relationship to their body as belonging to them. All activities of the conditioned souls are temporary and materially designated. And all the activities of those who have never been conditioned by matter or who have become freed from the influence of matter are purely transcendental. The pure activities of the pure spirit souls are called bhakti, and the mundane activities of the conditioned souls are called karma. As long as the living entities remain in the conditioned state, they will have to perform karma. The constitutional function of the living entities is to love the Supreme Lord. This is their natural propensity. Therefore, this propensity is also necessarily present in the conditioned souls. But due to the prominence of godless activities, this propensity is now dormant. When aversion to the Supreme Lord is diminished by the association of devotees, the living entity's propensity for serving the Supreme Lord is awakened. When this service propensity becomes stronger, the desire for fruitive activities automatically is destroyed. Jada jantrer karjer nai manav diger karma gyana shunna nai. The activities of human beings are not devoid of knowledge, jnana, like the activities of material machines. Je karma manav kartrik krita hai, all activities which are performed by human beings, tahate jnane satta lakshita hai. One can perceive the existence of knowledge in them. By knowledge, I think he is referring to conscious awareness.
Like Rasaraj says, when we look at a thing in this world, there is a difference between sense impression and sense perception. Sense impression is like a camera lens looking at an image.
Yes.
Or camera lens.
Yes, yes, yes.
Similarly, eye is looking at something, first there is sense impression, then there is sense perception.
Yes.
So you express a sense perception in some language.
Yes.
So he says, between the time we express it in language and sense impression, somewhere in between this aspect of sense perception happens. Then you translate it into words, no?
Yes. There is a functioning of the mind. The mind is what coordinates all the sense data.
Awesome.
Into one unified experience. This all comes in, you know, that mechanistic, non-mechanistic sense. That is something we should also read. Very, very interesting.
Mechanistic and non-mechanistic.
Two Nobel laureates liked it. Very important.
Hey, Rinthabra, I never read it.
Yeah?
Rinthabra,
you never read it?
No, I never read it. I thought it was mathematical that time. Now I'm interested in it.
That mathematics portions, he put stars. He says, if you can skip it. I'll bring it, I'll have it.
Then he speaks about all this, the mind is the one which
unifies it into one experience, one unified experience. This is a point even Vedanta Deshika brings up in Tattvamukta Kalapa. I see a red flower. I see it, I touch it, I smell it. But it is all one entity that my mind tells me. It is one entity that I am perceiving through all these senses. So that is coordinated. Rizavi proves that the Atma is not the senses.
What?
The senses.
Why?
Because some philosophers said the senses are the Atma.
Each of the senses is Atma.
Each of the senses are the Atma. There are different theories.
Okay, okay.
So he refutes it by saying that no, it cannot be that.
Why? How do you refute that?
Because there are multiple senses. And it is all unified into one experience.
By the mind.
By something else other than the senses.
Because the hand can only touch.
Hand can only touch, eyes can only see, nose can only smell. So where am I getting this unitary experience that it is one entity only? That there is something called a flower which has all of these features. Manaver jnana alochana kokono karma shunyata labh korena. Man's jnana alochana, discussion of knowledge also, never becomes devoid of activity. Alochana hi jnaner jivan. Alochana means what?
Deliberation.
Deliberation, correct. Deliberation itself is a very life of knowledge. Oi alochana ho ekti karma vishesh.
What is the definition between alochana and vichara?
That in all Chaitanya Shikshamrita, when we come to that jnana, 50 pages it comes, there at that time we will look at it. A gigantic long explanation. Chaitanya Shikshamrita also actually we should read carefully.
Then he explains
this,
what difference
between them. He goes into, there are some five different types of, so much of detail he goes into. He's analyzed, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about. So he says, this deliberation is also one form of karma. Ejanna sthula buddhi vyaktir nikat karma jnaner aiko pratit hoy. And therefore people of gross intelligence, they perceive karma and jnana to be the same. Tattvik vichare karmer swarup o gyaner swarup prithak. By philosophical analysis, we understand the natures of karma and jnana to be separate. Tadrup karjakale karma o gyan hoite bhakti ke prithak bolya nirdesh korite na parle o. Tattvik vichare karma o gyan hoite bhakti parthakya siddha hoy. Therefore, even though on the practical field, it is not possible to indicate bhakti as being distinct from karma and jnana, by philosophical analysis, it is established that bhakti is separate from karma and jnana.
It is characteristic of the soul, right?
Yeah, they are different. The activities of relishing, rasa asvadana, this is bhakti. The activities of human beings are not devoid of knowledge. Whatever human beings do, they do with knowledge. Cultivation is the life of knowledge. It means deliberation. Cultivation is also an activity, means deliberation is also an activity. That is why people with gross intelligence think that karma and jnana are equal. No, they think they are same. But from the analytical point of view, the characteristics of karma and jnana are separate. Although karma, jnana and bhakti appear to be similar, there is a gulf of difference between them. Nirupadhi ki chinmayi prema sevai bhaktir siddha swarup. Service in spiritual service in love of Godhead without any material designations is the perfect nature of bhakti. Jodiyo jadabaddha avasthay tahar spashta nirdesh kara sahajnay. Even though it is not easy to clearly indicate that while one is in material condition status, tathapi tad vishaye jata shraddha vyakti ganer nikat taha sahaje pratit. Still, for those persons who have developed faith in that subject matter, this is naturally realized. Jahara ruchikrame bhakti tattver alochana kurya thaken tad vishaye kebal tark ke adar korena taharae bhakti tattva avagato hon. Those who deliberate on the truth of bhakti through taste, they do not respect pure argumentation about the subject matter. They are the ones who understand the truth of bhakti. This is directly taken from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu.
Who actually what it's saying.
I'll show you.
Basically, it's all what Vedanta is trying to say.
You have not understood.
You have committed a greed.
Great, none of it. It's bogus.
All this is Jairani, which was exactly what you're trying to say. Now we are just discovering all these things.
Bhakti Tattva Avabodhika. See, here he says. Bhakti Tattva Avabodhika.
What is this cloth for? Winding?
I don't know what something it is. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Text 45. Svalpapi rucireva syat bhakti tattva avabodhika yuktistu kevala naiva yatasya apratishthatta. And Prabhupada has rendered this in Nectar of Devotion. First chapter. But every year you're supposed to update.
What is new in this updation?
There'll always be something. Okay, this is the first six qualities of your devotional service. Here, in this connection, this is chapter 2, this is Prabhupada's explanation of that. Srila Rupa Goswami suggests that the person eligible for Krishna consciousness or devotion service can be classified by his particular taste. And Prabhupada's explanation is in line with Jiva Goswami's commentary. He says that devotion service is a continual process from one's previous life. No one can take to devotion service unless he has had some previous connection with it. For example, suppose in this life I practice devotion service to some extent. Even though it is not 100% perfectly performed, whatever I have done will not be lost. In my next life, from the very point where I stop in this life, I shall begin again. In this way, there is always a continuity. But even if there is no continuity, if only by chance a person takes interest in pure devotional instruction, he can be accepted and can advance in devotion service. Anyway, for persons who have a natural taste for understanding books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, devotion service is easier than for those who are simply accustomed to mental speculation and argumentative processes.
By chance, the costless mercy is true, no?
By otherwise by the association of pure devotees.
By chance.
No, the pure devotee's mercy is chance from the perspective of the recipient.
Yeah.
So.
Then the perspective of Krishna is not chance.
Sorry?
Perspective of Krishna is not chance. Okay.
Because Krishna doesn't interfere, he also considers it by chance.
Is chance only, no? See,
the Madhyama Vaishnava is deciding whom to give mercy to. It is not actually chance. It is chance from the perspective of recipient.
Yeah, but then let's say Prabhupada, you want to give to everybody, no? He's not going to draw your own.
No, that's not true.
Say, who he doesn't want to give? Krishna?
There are so many people.
Dude, he never knew. Where did he find it? I mean, I also, if you would agree to it, take him to.
Whatever, it's not like that.
He gives indiscriminately, Prabhu.
He gives indiscriminately only when he's thinking about it. It's not like that. It's not like that. Prabhupada, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, they, no, it's not. They don't go to demoniac people for instance. Demoniac people, they keep away.
Prabhupada is debating scientists.
He doesn't go to scientists and debate with them. He talks to his own disciples to strengthen their Krishna conscious conviction.
But he says, go to universities.
That is okay. That is, you go and preach. But for certain people, Prabhupada says, avoid also.
That's why he says, no, these people must let them get purified into arena. That's what? This is what distribution is.
No, but for people who are giving trouble, then you keep away from them, no? That's why Prabhupada also is saying, 1% of America becomes Krishna conscious.
He's not expecting the revolution.
Yes,
that's all. It's not the reason. Leaving out some.
No, no, he wants to give Krishna consciousness to all. That is there. That is there. Prahlad Maharaj also says, what is that?
How can I go back to these fools of Krishna?
Apart from that also he prays. That's one prayer that Vishnu Chakravarti quotes. That let their fifth canto, let everyone become peaceful in pure devotion service, like that. That is there. That is there. But he will not go. Prahlad Maharaj will only pray to the Supreme Lord for that. He will not go to all the demoniac species and this and that. Because he maintains there is the four categories. Ishvare, Tadadhineshu, Balisheshu, Dvishatsucha, Prema, Maitri, Kripa, Upeksha. Upeksha means neglect. You are supposed to neglect. People who are demoniac, you are supposed to neglect. Ruchiratra Bhakti Tattva Pratipadaka Shabdeshu Srimad Bhagavatadishu Prachina Samskarena Uttamattva Jnanam. What is the meaning of taste? Jiva Goswami has explained what is the meaning of taste. So here he is saying that it is the conception by previous samskaras, devotional samskaras, that the scriptures such as Srimad Bhagavatam, which present the philosophy of bhakti, the conception that this is the highest, this is called taste. Saiva bhakti tattvam eva avabodhayati. It is that conception which will cause you to understand the nature of bhakti. Pure logic cannot help you. Yuktistu kevala naiva. Rupa Goswami is saying, pure logic cannot help you. So, Jiva Goswami has added, kevala shushka naiveti kintu tad ruchi sahita. But when that logic is mixed with this taste, this concept.
No, I'm getting confused. What is it he's saying that you have the conviction? That's right?
Yeah.
The Krishna got the highest.
That
for taste.
If you have the conviction that those Vedic scriptures which present the philosophy of bhakti such as Srimad Bhagavatam, this is the highest teaching, highest knowledge, Uttamattva Jnana. So that is what is called taste. You understand?
Okay.
That is what is called taste. So Rupa Goswami also says only logic will not help you, because logic has no foundation.
Okay, so if you know that, okay, this is all.
So then here Jiva Goswami explains what is the meaning of only logic will not do. He is saying logic plus that taste, that will help. And that will become clear later on when he is talking of who is eligible for bhakti, pure bhakti. Because in...
What logic is he referring to there?
Logic, standard logic. Standard logic, everybody has to know. Because later on, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has simply copy-pasted the commentary as it is for this. And both of them are saying that later on when Rupa Goswami will start to discuss who is eligible for pure bhakti, he will say that person who is expert in scriptural knowledge and logic and who has sarvata dhrida nishchaya, who always has firm unbroken faith, that person is the most eligible for pure devotion service.
What are three things that you say?
Two. Scriptural knowledge and understanding. Understanding means logic. Knowledge means knowledge, remember.
Okay.
Memory recall. And understanding involves logic.
Okay.
So both of them are in one category, knowledge, understanding. Shastra Yukti it is called. So he has to be expert in that. Okay. In modern ISKCON we call that jnana. But Rupa Goswami does not call this jnana. He calls this expertise in Shastra and scriptural logic. The word jnana he reserves for the process of Brahman realization. So that he keeps rejecting. But in a much more clearer language, he is rejecting bhakti pratikula jnana. And he is saying bhakti anukula jnana is required.
So what is he saying?
Shastre Yuktau Chunipuna 1-17.
Shastre Yuktau means 1-17.
here. Tatra adhikari, who is eligible? Yah kena api adhibhagyena jata shraddhosya sevane nati sakto na vairagya bhagasyam adhikari asau. That person who by some great fortune, this is Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. First canto, second chapter. 14. 1.2 by 14. So a person who by excessive fortune, but he has developed faith to serve Krishna, he is neither too attached nor is he completely renounced. That person is eligible. And as it is, he is quoting from Uddhava Gita 11.20.8. Yadrachaya mat kathadav jata shabdosti yahpuman na nirvirna nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhitaha. And this person, he is neither fully renounced nor is he fully attached. That for that person, bhakti yoga will grant him perfection. Here it comes. Two things. Well, Shastra Yukti is always considered one category. Uttama Matimascha Syat Kanishtas Cheti Sat Tritha 1.2.16 and 17. Tatra Uttamaha, the best candidate. Shastra Yuktaucha Nipunaha Sarvatha Dridam Nishaya Pradashraddhodikari Ya Sa Bhakta Uttama Mataha. That person who is expert in Shastra and logic, and who is always firmly fixed. That person.
What Nipuna means? Expert. Right?
Nipuna, expert.
Expert in
Shastra and logic.
Okay.
Nipuna means Praveena. See, Jiva Goswami has explained.
Yeah, okay. And then Sarvata Dhrida Nishaya. What is Dhrida Nishaya referring
to? Faith is very, very, very clear. Sarvateti Tattva Vicharena, Sadhana Vicharena, Purushartha Vicharena, Dhrida Nishaya iti artha. The meaning is, he is firmly fixed by tattva analysis, by sadhana analysis, and by sadhya, purushartha analysis. That prema bhakti is the highest goal, sadhana bhakti is the highest means. And by philosophy also he understands that this is the relationship between the Lord and the living entity and so on. Yuktischa atra shastra anugata eva geya. One should understand the logic is that which follows, this is only the logic which follows shastra. Because Ripu Goswami is rejected independent logic earlier.
So he is saying the sadhana bhakti, where is Raganuga bhakti and all that?
No, whatever, whether it is Raganuga bhakti or...
But he is clearly saying the sadhana bhakti, right?
What? No, but the sadhana bhakti has two parts, Vaidhi sadhana bhakti and Raganuga sadhana bhakti. Okay. Anyway, this is where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is deriving that statement from. It comes here. Little later it comes. Prabhupada also talks about this. Eligibility. On account of, this is chapter 3 in Nectarodium. On account of his association with Mahatmas or great souls, 100% in the devotion service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyment and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotion service. This attraction for Krishna consciousness and association with pure devotees is a sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both the bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seed of devotion service. In this connection, Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 8, "My dear Uddhava, only by exceptional fortune does someone become attracted to me. And even if one is not completely detached from fruitive activities, or is not completely detached to attached to devotion service, such service is quickly effective."
Now, just stop there. This could mean, you could say, now current Krishna consciousness movement, this is what we are seeing, so what's the problem?
Yeah, so they are eligible for pure devotion service. Next step is they should do pure devotion service. Those who are eligible for pure devotion service should do pure devotion service.
But look at what they are saying. Only by exceptional fortune does one people attracted to me. Even if one is not completely attached.
Correct. That's correct. That is correct.
Not completely attached to devotion service. That service is pretty effective.
Yeah, but he has to have only love of God as his goal. He cannot have a combination of other purusharthas with love of God.
It's really there. No, look at
what?
Just go there. Look at what that statement.
What is your...
Becomes attracted, that's all.
Yeah, but attracted means he wants to attain love of God, pure love of God, and he's willing to go in that direction.
And even if one of the complete death, they are completely attached to devotional service.
Yes.
If you're not attached to devotional service, how can you think that that is what you want to be, become?
Therefore, you should listen to the acharyas. Vishwanath Chakravarti has explained what it means.
The difference between attachment and attraction.
No. He's explained what it means.
Okay. Let's go to that.
Because it comes in it comes here. He explains what that means.
Right.
I will tell you. 11th canto. What is that chapter that he is referring to? This is 11.20. Okay. So here. Just saw that the other day. Okay, wait. I'll get it. Okay. It comes in Madhuri Kadambini also, so I'll get it right now. Yes, 11.20.28, this is the one. 11. Yes, this one, this is the person who is fit for pure devotional service. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. This is the person that Krishna has referred to there. Neither to attach. He's attached to Krishna, but he's not fully detached also. His senses are pulling him on one side. See, Veda Dukhatmakan Karman, he knows that Kaman, he knows sense enjoyment is miserable. Parityagepi Anishwara, but he is incapable of getting out of it. So Vishwanath Chakravarti has explained here that this is the person. This is an explanation of that text.
I mean, I know, but I'm not, but is there a link given that this is the explanation of that, or you just...
No, I'll show you. No. Vishwanath Chakravarti actually says it. It is not my ratiocination. It is Vishwanath Chakravarti himself saying it. Jata Shraddha. Okay? Jata Shraddha Matkathasu Nirvinna Sarva Karmasu. This one, this text. 27-28. Okay? I'll show you. Vishwanath Chakravarti's explanation. Are we in the right place?
So it is not referring to me or Iskon. That is what I
want to explain. Wait. These people have been well defined, and this is a person in the platform of he's in the middle of Anartha Nivritti actually. Krishna Chakravarti. अथ भक्ति अधिकारिणः प्राथमिकं स्वभावं दर्शयन् भक्तिमाः दातश्रद्धा इति स्वाभ्याम्. सो शोयिङ्ग् द फस्ट् नेचर् द इनिशियल् स्वभाव आफ् अ पर्सन् हू इस् फिट् फार् भक्ति शोयिङ्ग् देट् ही टाक्स् अबौट् ही डिस्क्रैब्स् भक्तीनां दातश्रद्धा इति द्वाभ्यां. सर्वकर्मसु लौकिकवैदिकेषु कर्मसु तत्फलेषु च निर्विण्णः दुःखबुद्ध्या उद्विग्नः. दिस् पर्सन् ही is detached from all activities, which means is detached from worldly activities and Vedic activities as well as their results. Dukha buddhya udvignaha, this means that he has a feeling of detachment with the conception that they are all miserable. Na atisaktam iti yaduktam tadvivrunoti. And Krishna had stated that he is na atisakta, that he is neither too attached nor is he completely renounced. Okay, so he is not too attached. Iti yatukam tadvivrunoti. Now he explains what that means. Kaman, stri putra adi sangothan kaman dukhatmakan veda athacha tat parityage api asamarthaha tataha tam avastham arabhyaiva dhrida nishchayaha iti गृह आदि आसक्ति ही मे नश्येत वर्धतां वा भजनेपि मे विघ्नकोटिर् भवतु नश्यतु वा अपराधे नरकं चेत् भवेत् कामं अंगीकुर्वेत् तदपि भक्तिं न जिहासामि ज्ञानकर्मादिकं नैव जिघृक्षामि यदि स्वयं ब्रह्मा अपि आगत्य वदेत् इति एवं दृढः निश्चयः यस्य सः आरब्धभजनस्य तस्य भक्तौ यथा निश्चय दार्ढ्यं न तथा तत् प्रतिकूलवस्तूनि इत्याह जुषमानश्चेत्. ओके, सो वाट् ईस् सेयिङ्ग् इस् दट् ही अण्डर्स्टाण्ड्स् दट् आल् दि सेन्स् एन्जाय्मेण्ट् वित् वैफ् चिल्ड्रन् एण्ड् सो आन् दिस् इस् आल् मिसरबल्. ही नोस् दट् but he is incapable of getting out of that. So, but his conviction is very firm, dhrida nishchaya. So the idea is, whether my attraction to home etc. Is destroyed or it increases, whether there are millions of obstacles in devotion service or they are destroyed due to my offenses, even if I have to go to hell, even then I would not ever give up bhakti, and I will never take shelter of jnana, karma and so on. Even if Lord Brahma himself comes to me and tells me, still I will not. So this is a person who has begun devotion service, and he is very firmly fixed in bhakti, but he is not so firmly fixed in opposing activities. Dukha darkan kalatra putradi sangothan kaman garhayanneva jushamanaha. He is engaging himself in these activities. He knows they are all miserable, association with wife, children and so on.
He is not fixed in opposing activities.
That means that he is criticizing that sense enjoyment, knowing that it is all miserable. Aho ami vishayabhoga eva anarthakarinaha. Oh, all this sense enjoyment is the one that gives rise to anarthas. Bhagavat pada prapti pratikula यदेते बहुशः नामग्राहम् अपि सशपथम् अपि त्यक्त्वापि समये भोक्तव्या एव भवन्ति इति निन्दामि. ओ, दीस् आर् आल् ओब्स्टिकल्स् फार् अटैनिङ्ग् द लोटस् फीट् आफ् भगवान्. ईवन् दो डिस्पैट् सो मच् आफ् चाण्टिङ्ग् आफ् द होली नेम्स्, डिस्पैट् मै प्रामिसस्, ईवन् दो ऐ एम् गिविङ्ग् अप्, स्टिल् एट् द रैट् टैम् ऐ हेव् टु एक्स्पीरियन्स् इट्. Experience this miserable situation that I've put myself into. Iti nindami cha pibami cha iti nyayena unjanaha. So he is criticizing it, but he is drinking it. So this is what is meant by that statement.
So this is his comment to Bhakti Rasamrita Sundara.
Srimad Bhagavatam commentary, Vishnu Chakravarti, on those verses.
These verses are quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sundara.
No. Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu quotes this verse.
How is it correlating this?
Because he's saying it. He's saying this. He's the one saying it.
Who? Vishwanatha Chakravarti?
He's
saying what?
He's saying that is explained here.
Ah, that's what I'm saying. So, which is explained where? That, what is there?
Naati Sakta, yes. Naati Sakta. See? Okay, let me just...
Can you make a one page?
Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga. Asya Siddhita. Bhakti Yoga. Asya Siddhita. Why is this not finding? Adhikar Yasa, okay, let me find. Okay, let me see if you find it. Yes, you got it. See, this Nanirvana, Na Atisakta. He is neither detached nor is he too attached. This came in text 8.
Okay,
in the same chapter, Lord Krishna then comes to text 27. And here Vishwanatha Chakravarti is saying, see that Nirvana, he quotes it.
Okay.
He quotes the previous one. He quotes the same Nirvana.
Okay.
Yeah, now he is explaining Na Atisakta.
Okay. He explained Na Nirvana, Na Atisakta.
Yeah, here I have not yet added Bhagavatam. It is a new type of folio.
Okay, so why we do one benefit for humanity at large by doing one very simple one page? Can you just link up these things? The Prabhupada is saying this there with the English translation, the Vishwanatha Chakravarti talk, this is the meaning of that, because people can easily misunderstand that. And
no, if you look at the commentaries, it's all very clear.
I know, but who in this knows it?
It's
not like neo, they use the alternative to justify neo Vaishnavism.
Look. Here is Vishwanatha Chakravarti's own commentary on this very verse. Yadrachaya Pratama Skandha Vyakyata Yuktaya Yadrachika Mahat Sangena. So somehow or other he gets bhakti means what? As described in his commentary to first canto, it means by the association of great souls. Okay, Mat Kathado Jata Shraddha Iti. He has attained faith in my topics and so on. Ate eva Shraddhamrta Kathaya Me Iti Shraddhalur Me Katham Shrinvan Iti Tatra Tatra Bhakti Yoga Katha Shraddhalu Reva Adhikari Darshita. So it has been pointed out in the commentaries in those places that one who has faith in the topics of the Supreme Lord, he is having faith in, he is qualified for Bhakti Yoga. Na Atisaktaha Deha Geha Kalatradishu Ati Asakti Rahitaha. One who is devoid of too much attachment to body, home, wife and so on. Ateva Na Nirvinnaha Iti Teshu Nirvinnatve Jnane Adhikaraha. He is not detached, because if he is detached, then he would be fit for jnana. If it is too attached, he would be fit for karma. You understand the logic? If he is too attached to wife, children and so on, he is actually fit for karma yoga. If he is too much detached, he is fit for jnana yoga. He is neither here nor there. He is right in between. Okay. Therefore, he is fixed in bhakti. Atyasakti rahitye bhakta vadhikara iti adhikara traya viveka. Thus, there is a very clear distinction of these three eligibilities. Nirvedasya karanam nishkama karma hetuka antahkarana shuddhireva. Why is he detached? That detachment is because of the purification of his heart that has come due to nishkama karma. Atyasakte karanam anadi avidyeva. And why is he too much attached? Too much attached is because of beginningless avidya. Atyasakti rahityasya karanam yadrachika mahat sangha evetti tatra tatra karanam drishyam. Then why is there freedom from too much attachment? That is because of the causeless mercy of the great souls.
No, but then he's also saying that's because of nishkama karma. What is that? Saying two things.
Detachment. One hand there is detachment. Another hand there is too much attachment.
Okay.
For people who are detached, Jnana Yoga. For people who are too much attached, Karma Yoga. for people who are neither detached nor too much attached, bhakti yoga.
Yes.
So not having too much attachment, what is the cause for that? The cause is the causeless association of great souls.
That's fine, but what he said is, see, if you see, he says that, no, one is called Nishkama Karma, the other is, see, what
detachment. See, there are three statuses. Either you are attached, or you are detached, or you are in between.
Yeah. Detachment is caused by?
By previous engagement in karma and so on,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Then attachment
is caused by?
Beginningless.
Anadi
avidya.
Anadi avidya.
Okay. Anadi avidya. For a person who is neither here nor there, and the reason he is in the middle is by the causeless mercy of association with great souls. That is why he is here. Otherwise he would be fit for karma yoga, or he would be fit for jnana yoga. Karma yoga will lead one to jnana yoga. You understand? That is the whole idea. If he is too attached due to beginningless ignorance, then he is eligible only for karma. So he has to execute karma. Then over many lifetimes, that will lead one to detachment. So his heart would be purified, be here. No, but where does this middle situation come?
Middle situation always is an eligibility for jnana.
No, middle situation is not an eligibility.
Why not? When you're transcending, will go like that?
No. No, you cannot.
No, you can only reach detachment after, that's what you're saying? No, why? See, for example, you're progressing from karma to jnana.
But this in-between stage also has to have a taste for bhakti.
It is not a jnana, karma jnana intermediate.
No. It has certain features of a person who is between karma and jnana. But he has to have the aim of attaining the yes. Yes.
That is due to the mercy of your
devotees. Yes. That is due to the mercy of your devotees. And then he says that kim chaitat utkrishta adhikarana eva lakshanam. But one can think that it appears that the detached people are superior by eligibility. Then he says no, because from 11th canto, 2nd chapter, text 2, konarajan indriyavan mukunda charnambujam na bhajet sarvato mrityu iti ukte yadrachika bhakta sange sati indriyavan eva bhaktav adhikari gyaya. When one has attained that causeless association with pure devotees, and this person has senses with which he wants to serve the Supreme Lord, then he is qualified to engage in bhakti. When one has the association of such devotees, only is he qualified to engage in bhakti. Otherwise, he is not fit for bhakti.
Even if the person is in jnana, that's what it means, right?
He is in jnana or here or in between, whatever. Until he develops that faith has to be given to him. Okay, we'll stop with this.
Take a bargain with your question.